Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome into the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Be sure to give Ryer on YouTube a like and a subscribe. Great content there as always, including Talking Tide. We preview Alabama, Wisconsin this evening for a little bit here on a Wednesday night. Alabama football, of course, coming off a big rout of ULM 73-0, taking on their second of two non-conference Power Four opponents in the Badgers. And Travis, I believe this is the first time Wisconsin will be first-time visitors to Bryant-Denny.
Absolutely. Coming off the thumping at home at the hands of the Crimson Tide a year ago, 42-10, Alabama went up to Camp Randall. I know you made that trip, and very, very commanding win over Wisconsin a year ago. It'll be interesting. You see it right there. As we've got the banner up for the program, which Bama will the Badgers get? You know, we've seen good Bama last week against a not so good opponent in ULM. And then we saw pretty bad Bama on the road at Florida State in the season opener, playing in the comfy confines of Bryant-Denny Stadium. Should give Alabama fans some additional comfort, but you got an early kick. You got an unbeaten Wisconsin team. Kind of what I'm wondering going into this thing. Which Bama are we going to see on Saturday, Chase?
And it's a fair question, too, because let's face it, in the year plus that this program has been under Kalen DeBoer's leadership, we've seen it wobble and kind of go up and down, right? The if it was a lie detector test, it looked kind of shaky, right? I mean, up and down. We've seen and particularly it's if you look back to last year, sometimes played their worst after playing their best, right? Yeah. You look at certainly Vanderbilt coming off of Georgia last year would be one example. You know, if I remember right, that Oklahoma game, did it follow right after LSU? Was there one in between? I can't recall, but those two were right around each other.
Yeah, it was, I think, right after LSU. And, you know, look, even in September last year, that USF game wasn't a walk in the park in Tuscaloosa. So, you know, I'm not comparing apples for apples. I know when you talk about those teams, South Florida and Wisconsin, but I think the narrative has been Alabama's been just fine at home under Kalen DeBoer. But, you know, they've had some games the second half of Georgia, USF at home last year, where they really, really had to grind in circumstances where probably people didn't think it would come down to that.
South Carolina,
absolutely. Yeah,
that game was in serious jeopardy late for the Crimson Tide. They ended up pulling that one out. So, good question. What kind of Alabama team will we see? We know this much, Travis. After hearing from Kalen DeBoer earlier today on the SEC media teleconference, it appears to be an Alabama team that's going to return star wide receiver Ryan Williams from a concussion. He did not go against ULM, took a pretty big lick against Florida State late in the week one game. And it looks like Ryan Williams will be good to go. And the other injured players, Jam Miller, Tim Keenan, et cetera, sounds like they're going to be more day-to-day, more questionable, at least for the time being.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Fascinating to see how that sort of plays out in terms of returning availability for some of those guys. Ryan Williams against Wisconsin last year, 4 catches, 78 yards and a touchdown. Between he and Jeremy Bernard in that game up there, 133 receiving yards and a couple of touchdowns. Big, big yards per catch numbers for that duo against Bucky a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Williams can certainly stretch the field. And, of course, if the Florida State game is any indication, we're going to see him right back in the slot again. I'm anxious to see how that plays out week to week for Alabama this season. But you could go deep in the slot. Lane Kiffin used to do that a lot. You could pressure the safeties and run vertical out of there. So, Ryan Williams, I think he's an outstanding outside receiver. I want to see more of him in the slot to see what I think of him there.
Yeah, I just don't understand, though, and I think this is what you're going to ultimately see is Ryan Williams move around still. I just have a hard time getting my head around Ryan Williams exclusively as a slot receiver. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're making it actually easier in a lot of ways for the defense because they'll know where to find him, and then they can match up accordingly. You can travel a corner inside to play against him if you don't want to get that third corner or that safety type in that nickelback situation. So I got to think Ryan Grubb is going to do more of that. And perhaps it's a week to week thing based on the opponent. But yeah, there's been a lot of noise I know about Ryan and maybe a sophomore slump. Look, we've seen him in one game. It wasn't a great performance against Florida State before the concussion. No one is trying to argue otherwise, but as we've outlined here and elsewhere, Ryan Williams still impacted that game in a very positive way for Alabama. Alabama could not capitalize on some of the things that he did do, like a couple of defensive penalties that he drew that otherwise might have gone for scores.
Yeah, no criticism of Ryan Williams overall for me. I mean, he's a phenomenal talent. Obviously, FSU was not a good game for him. But I expect him to have another big season for the Crimson Tide. I imagine Wisconsin will be a good chance, although the best player, we'll talk about Wisconsin a minute now, I guess, maybe the best player on that Wisconsin team is Ricardo Hallman, a cornerback, Travis, who's been around. I believe he's a senior. I think he had 7 picks in 2023. And last year, I read this, of all corners in the FBS – who had 300-plus coverage snaps last year, he was targeted the least of anyone.
Yep.
I think 33 targets coming his way. So maybe that's why you don't have any picks, right? Last year.
Yeah, one of the better corners in the Big Ten for the last couple of years, and he did get a close-up look at both Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams in the game a year ago. So – I remember Wisconsin's corners a year ago not being the longest or maybe the tallest corners. I think Hillman's 5'10". I think the other starting corner is 5'9", 5'10". So interesting to see how Alabama goes about attacking those matchups. And Isaiah Horton, this is a guy, big receiver. This should be a matchup that you like for him on the outside for sure. But I think for the strength of this Wisconsin defense, it's pretty much at those spots, like you talked about with the corner and Hallman, and then also a couple of really nice inside linebackers and Christian Allegro, 6'4", 247. He's going to be in jersey number 0. And then also a guy who saw a good bit of action against Alabama a year ago, Tackett Curtis, 6'2", 235, and he's a transfer from USC.
There you go. It's been an outstanding couple of games for Wisconsin defensively. As you mentioned, they haven't opened with the toughest schedule in the world. They started with Miami of Ohio. They turned around last week and routed Middle Tennessee State. So Alabama obviously will be by far the stiffest competition they've seen. Nevertheless, defensively, Travis, I think they're only giving up 5 points a game through 2 games. I guess they gave up 10 and threw in a shutout, and especially on the ground, they've only allowed like 30, 35 yards a game. So something to watch there. Obviously, Alabama's going to break through on those averages on them some, but how much?
That's the big question. And again, kind of as a comparison or a look back to last year in that game up in Madison, you had Jalen Milroe at the quarterback position that was such a problem in that game for the Badgers, 75 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. But Jam had a nice game up there too. 9 carries, 71 yards. So you were well north of 150 rushing yards in that game. And then the explosive plays on top of that in the passing game. Jalen threw for 3 touchdowns, as we said. Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard, both north of 18 yards per catch. Josh Cuevas only had 1 catch in the game last year, but it went 37 yards for a touchdown. So explosive plays and a run game that produced a few of those. I don't think we're going to see the same type of approach with Ty Simpson at the quarterback position. But, you know, these backs, as we've seen, I don't know if between the quarterback and the running back, you have that explosive play capability on the ground. But we do know that a guy like Kevin Riley is showing more and more he can catch it out of the backfield. Maybe you can do some things against this Wisconsin defense that don't entail just handing it to people. Although I would still think if you're Alabama, you're thinking, you know what, perimeter speed is where we should have an advantage in this game. We'll be interesting to see how Ryan Grubb tries to maybe take advantage of that.
All right, other side of the ball for Wisconsin, Travis, on offense. New offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes for the Badgers replaces Phil Longo, who was let go toward the end of last season. And, you know, the change is back to what it was more, I think, for Wisconsin, Travis. Longo threw it around more. I think, from what I understand, Grimes is bringing this Wisconsin offense a little bit more back to what the Badgers tradition is in terms of a power running game.
Yeah, I think so. I watched a good bit of Wisconsin, Middle Tennessee from last week. Still going to be a lot of shotgun. It's not going to go back to Barry Alvarez, Wisconsin, with Ron Dayne, you know, and the quarterback under center a lot and just running counter and running power for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
But sure, in terms of what's traditional today in the run game, it's probably going to look more like that, kind of like Alabama, I think, from that perspective. So, you know, you look at the contributors from last year's game from the Wisconsin perspective, and it's really changed across the board offensively, most notably, as you said, the coordinators have flipped. And Longo did have some even air raid principles in his arsenal, but he's no longer there. They did make the change there at coordinator, again, more along the lines of a traditional offense. But the quarterback situation, as we know, for Wisconsin, kind of muddled a little bit, although it sounds more and more like as we get later in the week, it's going to be the San Diego State transfer, Danny O'Neill, who has really been the guy the first couple of games because, you know, the game one starter, Billy Edwards Jr., had that injury in week one. So that's kind of taken him out of the mix, it sounds like.
Top two quarterbacks in the program. One transfers in from the East Coast, the other one from the West Coast. They both end up at Wisconsin.
Meach in the middle. Yeah, Meach and Madison. You know, that whole quarterback room from last year vacated with, I guess, the change too at the coordinator level. I think it was Braden Locke that came into the game last year.
Right.
For Tyler and the Miami transfer. And I think Braden Locke's at Arizona now. He's been to Mississippi State, Wisconsin, and now Arizona. He's going to touch all the leagues, isn't he, Braden Locke?
All over the place. Defensively for Alabama, taking that offense on, coming off a shutout, obviously, an outstanding performance against ULM, but one, as we've said, that can be hard to judge given the level of competition. What about Deontay Lawson, Travis, the middle linebacker for the Crimson Tide and team captain? In your opinion, having seen him for 2 games, does he look like he's still shaking a little rust off from the knee injury, or does he look 100% to you? I think, to me, he looks like he's still shaking some rust.
I think so, but I mean, for what my sort of expectation was for him, again, as we've talked about so often here on the show, the time frame involved in trying to get back from an injury sustained in mid-November, like an ACL, I think he's actually looked probably better than I would have thought he would have looked at this point. But there's no doubt. I mean, this is going to be a situation against Saturday where, you know, this offense for Wisconsin is going to look to exploit that. And I'll tell you, this little utility player from Honolulu, Hawaii, for Wisconsin. He's a lot of fun to watch, and they've utilized him already in some ways. He had a big touchdown run last week against Middle Tennessee off of an end around type of concept. And I think Wisconsin had two touchdowns off of end arounds last week, but Tretch Kekahuna is his name. He's listed at 5'10". But
congrats on the pronunciation. 5'8",
and he wears number two. So this is kind of like the maybe Polynesian Deuce coming to Tuscaloosa, but he's a lot, plays with a lot of energy, plays with a lot of speed. And I think this is a guy, given what Alabama put on tape, especially in week one against Florida State. I mean, you're going to go into this thinking, and I think Wisconsin wants Alabama thinking like what we've talked about. Oh, this is Clydesdale, Wisconsin.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Again, right? This is pound you. They're going to hand it to Dylan Jones, their top tailback, 20 times and just try to hang in. And I do believe that. I think ball control, those type of things are what Wisconsin's going to want to do. But in terms of big play potential, watch two for Wisconsin, the little guy. He's kind of a pocket rocket.
The end around hurt Alabama in week one,
yes,
right, for Florida State. So if you're Kane Wame, there's no excuse not to be ready for the end around because you got burned on it against the Seminoles.
And look, you know, exactly. And the Badgers put it on tape twice for you last week. So there's absolutely no excuse. It's not like they held it back, and then they're going to unleash it on you Saturday.
Right,
they
here it comes.
Basically said last night, hey, look, we've got it too.
Yeah.
So, no doubt about it.
All right. Elsewhere defensively for Alabama, Travis still looking for their first quarterback sack of the season. Kane Womack kind of lamenting on Monday that UA had 12 tackles for loss, nary a sack, which is pretty remarkable. I think he said he'd never even heard of such a thing before, but pass rush has got to get cranked up fast. Conference play is approaching. Georgia around the bend, right beyond Wisconsin, Travis. Obviously, there's an idle week in there in between. But pass rush has got to start getting home.
You would think so. And I hear Kane. I think that was Kane, too, sort of subtly saying, look, we did have 12 tackles for loss.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Flip it in there, yeah.
I think that was kind of his way of refuting that a little bit.
Sure.
And ULM, and I'm not a Kane Womack apologist, as you know.
Right.
ULM only threw, what, 18 passes in the game against Alabama? So it's not like this was a 40 pass attempt game and you didn't get home on the quarterback. But I do think the point is valid. And as we talk about it, Gelato here chiming in live here on a Wednesday night via the show chat. He asked, Chase, is this Alabama D-line as bad as some people are making it out to be?
See some more football, right?
Yeah, I'm not ready to go.
It was bad against Florida State. There is
no
question.
Haven't seen this defensive line with Tim Keenan yet.
That's true, too. That's true, too.
Jeremiah Beeman, out.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Keenan, I'm no apologist right now for that defensive situation in Tuscaloosa.
Right.
But even to be even a little bit fair, Chase, don't you have to take those things into account?
You do. There's no doubt about it. Tim Keenan is a difference maker inside on that defensive line. He's the kind of guy that can help others play better, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing him return. May not be Wisconsin. May not see him again till Georgia. We'll see what happens there. But, yeah, you're right. I mean the defense is up and down just like the team, it seems like. And last year I thought the defense, for the most part, was fair. It certainly forced turnovers consistently. And, you know, it as bad as Alabama played against Oklahoma, the defense played a whole lot better than the offense. As bad as Alabama played against Michigan, defense played better than the offense. So
I hate to be but guy, good bread. But guess what? Michigan didn't have a damn quarterback.
No, they'd all transferred, right? They'd all hit the portal or gone pro early. You're right. I mean, that Michigan
Oklahoma,
roster.
Oklahoma went single wing.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
They got set up pretty good though for a lot of those points.
They did. No doubt. There's no doubt that.
But at any rate, getting back to the defensive line. You want to see James Smith continue to emerge. Mm-hmm. Certainly. You want to see a couple of these younger guys maybe step into some bigger and more important roles. LT Overton, it's money. You know, we've talked about him, Travis. It's really money time for him, especially as a pass rusher and a guy who's looking to move on to the NFL.
Yeah, he's almost Overton instead of LT. I mean, if you're going to be LT, you're going to be LT. You know, that to me, that resonates as an old head as Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
When I think LT, still to this point for Overton, it's been a lot of almost. It's time to, as you said, kind of get that thing where it needs to be. What about Shane Bland chiming in here? Chase says, Bucky better have the cold fans working OT on Saturday, going from 70 degrees to mid 90s. Humidity going to be interesting to see if they can handle the heat. I may be more worried about Bucky's fan base too. You know, sitting out in that stuff.
Yeah.
And those folks, they like to put down the libations. I was just up in Wisconsin over the weekend, and the sort of the state motto is drink Wisconsibly, Chase. I thought you'd like that.
That's clever. No question. Very clever. Very clever. All right. The Talkin' Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Moving on. I want to ask our listeners and viewers to please donate and contribute to Parker Covers Alabama, a nonprofit 501c3 supporting wheelchaired Alabama residents. You can do so at parkercoversalabama.com. Talking Tide on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Moving on, Travis, why don't we jump around the SEC a little bit like we typically do toward the end of the midweek show, Travis. Some thoughts, I guess, Georgia, Tennessee on tap, probably the marquee game in the league. Georgia ranked 6th, Tennessee ranked 15th. Let's just hit the brakes right there. What do you think of that matchup?
My concern for Tennessee is that the betting public really likes the Vols, it appears, going into that one at Neyland
Stadium. I didn't know there was a line moved. I hadn't seen
that. Oh, I think it opened 7.5, good bread, or 7, right. Georgia. And the boys and gals have bet it down at 3, 3.5. And you know how much cash that takes. A 4-point swing?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
So that, you know, it kind of feels like a Saban era setup, as I like to call them, when Nick was at the helm in Tuscaloosa. You hear all week about, hey. And then you look up in the third quarter and it's 28-10, and it feels like it's 78-6.
Yeah,
because it's just a bleed out, you know, for the home team. But I mean, you got to be impressed with what Tennessee has done, maybe even more so in the opener than in week two against ETSU. But Joey Aguilar looks like he is fit right in there into that Josh Heupel scheme, Chase. That being said, Tennessee still got to be able to run the ball some in this game Saturday. I still don't like a scenario where you're putting all of it on the transfer quarterback and some still emerging options on the outside at wide receiver.
Got to be able to run it. And I believe Travis George has won 8 straight that series, going for 9. So Knoxville's going to be rocking, trying to get that streak snapped. But I think I like the Dogs. So we'll see how that one turns out. All right, elsewhere in the SEC, Travis, 3 other games jump out to me. Florida at LSU. Florida obviously trying to bounce back from a disappointing non-conference loss. Texas A&M travels to Notre Dame. And Vanderbilt break up the Commodores. They're traveling to South Carolina. That's a really intriguing game to me, Travis.
I think it's deserving of sort of the primetime designation, although it's going to be up against Texas A&M and Notre Dame. That'll be an NBC game because the game, of course, is being played in South Bend with the Aggies and the Irish. But, yeah, I agree, man. Lenore Sellers, Diego Pavia, sign me up for all that. And the thing is, I think I might be more comfortable with the supporting cast right now around Diego Pavia than I am Lenore Sellers.
Right.
And, you know, Diego, he's not afraid to go out there and do whatever it takes to win games, as we've seen. So you're right. That's going to be a fun one in primetime Saturday night.
How long has it been since Vanderbilt and South Carolina got together for what could arguably be the SEC's marquee quarterback matchup?
Well, exactly. And if we were still in divisions, this would be sort of a gateway game in the SEC East between these two, based on what we saw from Florida last week. You know, Tennessee is showing signs of promise. But you're right, in terms of quarterback play, you'd have to go way back. I don't think you could go far enough back to find this type of matchup at quarterback between these two.
Right. Not typically teams that have quarterbacks that scare you, but not the case this season. All right, Florida at LSU. Let's wrap it up there, Travis. Your thoughts on the great to be is coming off that loss to South Florida, headed to LSU to take on that Garrett Nussmeier, speaking of the quarterback position.
Yeah. I mean, that's another marquee quarterback matchup, or that might be the most anticipated quarterback matchup in the league going into the season with DJ Lagway and Nussmeier from the LSU perspective. But Lagway just hasn't looked like that guy through two games. Now, he had an off season where there were questions about his health, lingering issues, even going into camp, he had some issues. That's the concern you have for him moving forward. Is this going to be a reoccurring theme for him? I think Florida is going to be right there though. Really do, in spite of Billy Napier. And if he can kind of stay out of the way, I still think they have the people at Florida capable to go in there and pull off an upset, especially on the heels of that loss to USF. But kind of tough to pick against the home team. And then you don't know about Caleb Banks, too, the Florida defensive lineman that is such a playmaker, if he's going to be able to go or not. Jack Pyburn, interesting storyline for LSU because he was at Florida last year. Now he's with LSU. So I don't know. You like the home team Saturday night in Death Valley?
I like the home team. I like two out of the three we're talking about here. I like two road teams, one home team. I like Georgia to get it done. I think Vanderbilt, they are just clicking on all cylinders right now. I like Vanderbilt to go into South Carolina and win that game. That'll be an upset. South Carolina's ranked 11th. But I do like LSU at home against those Gators. I think that LSU defense looks a lot better than it did a year ago. And give me the Tigers.
The Tigers
at home in that one.
What about Shane Dempsey here chiming in before we check out, Chase? He wants to know, or he's saying here, hopefully you guys are not part of the bunch saying bench Ryan Williams.
Yeah, been addressed. You won't find that sentiment here, will you, Travis?
Yeah, that sort of dumbassery is not tied into the program or the channel here. So I don't know where that – I'm sure it's out there. But
somebody, somewhere, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But no, it's not part of this not part of this program. I feel pretty comfortable in saying that. Let's see if we got one or two more. Let's see. How will Bama contain the Wisconsin run game, Chase? I mean, I think that starts with discipline. Yeah, this was an undisciplined bunch that Gus really exposed multiple occasions in Tallahassee. And I know you look at this Wisconsin offense, you think, well, I don't really have to worry about the quarterback run game with this. If it is O'Neal behind center, more of a drop back guy. But there will be pre-snap eye candy and misdirection and just seeing if and Wisconsin did a nice job of this last week against Middle Tennessee, getting Middle Tennessee's eyes in a certain area and then fooling Middle Tennessee or Middle Tennessee's eyes sort of deceiving them. So I think eye discipline sounds simple enough, regardless of how you line up. if you're the Alabama defense, if there's not more of that and just fundamentally sound tackling and fitting the run, well, it fundamentals and discipline, Chase, that's all I really got.
You know, fitting the run too is it's so important. And in the way this defense runs, it's a one gap deal where you're looking for, you know, Womack likes penetration up front with those defensive linemen. He likes them to be disruptive. That's all well and good. You can get good big play. You make big negative plays out of that. They just had 12 TFLs last week, as we noted. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you lose your gap with that penetration. Sometimes it gets taken advantage of, especially when that penetration comes from the outside and the back can cut inside of the penetration. It can open up some problems. So yeah, you want those good defense, those best athletes on the defensive line to penetrate and be disruptive, but discipline goes hand in hand with it.
Yeah. I mean, and the potential to be a third straight game without Tim Keenan right there in the middle of that defensive line, you can sort of try to discount it, but it's real because, and with Beeman out now too, mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the guys that Alabama is running out there in the middle of that defensive line, physically, it's just not the same. It's not right. The same people, especially Keenan in that role, but even Beeman, when you talk about Baga and also
Simmons,
London Simmons. I mean, and I give those guys credit because they've hung in there, I think, as best as they possibly can. But that's a tough spot to be in without those top two guys there in the interior.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, that is going to wrap us up here on the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, check out Ryer on YouTube. Be sure to give it a like, a subscribe, follow it up. Super content there. For Travis Ryer, I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, and we will talk to you on the Sunday nighter when we wrap up Alabama, Wisconsin.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.